There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
You can't walk down the street without clothes on in the city of Mobile.
Do what?
You can't walk down the street without clothes on in the city of Mobile.
All right, that's how we get started with this edition of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, y'all. Sean Sullivan, live local talk over the next hour. And then our buddy Cam Marston with What's Working Special Edition is coming your way at about 1:05. All right, it is a Thursday, and this is the new tradition around here on Thursdays as we award the FM Talk 106.5 Fish and Photo Contest winner. So we're doing this Thursday to Thursday weeks, and last week is Brad. He won our first week of the contest, winning that FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team Dry Fit shirt, the one with the red snapper and the speckled trout on it, and our logo. That's a good-looking shirt. And we said, okay, so another chance to win this last week. We started it last week on Thursday. It goes through today, and we award another shirt. And then, don't worry, we'll tell you a little more afterwards, but we start the contest right up again. And my friend Leanna has stepped into the studio, and we're talking about another winner here in this contest. And we got to turn that mic on. There we go, another winner in the contest. And we have, last week, it was a picture of a red snapper that won. And I'm not saying that there's anything to the actual fish in the picture, but last week, this week, red fish. Red snapper last week, red fish this week.
So there's a
different
theme.
Yes, I'm just a different deal. So let's talk about this. People put up some pretty great photographs this week.
Oh, definitely. There was lots of kids in there. I love kids and fish. That's
yes,
so
it's a pretty good combination. You and I agree on that.
And then there was there's quite a variety of fish. Some old pictures, some pictures of just fish.
Yep.
We got quite a variety, and there was quite a few that were turned in, and we had lots of people perusing and voting the photos. And
so here, and by the way, if y'all didn't know how it works, so y'all put the picture up and then get to know the picture that gets the most number of likes, however you wrangle that out there, that is the winner for the week. So we've got another winner. And remember last week, so I did the drum roll, right? We had the drum roll happen.
Yeah.
And I realized that in doing that, that the drum roll goes on for, I didn't know last week, but it goes on for a minute and 27 seconds.
Oh, wow.
So we will have to cut the drum roll early. At least this week, I know that this is the longest drum roll in the world. And so we cut the drum roll early, and we award this week's winner. Do you have it, or do you want me to do it?
You can do it, because I don't know how to say the last name.
Teufel.
Oh.
Yeah, that's Joel Teufel. He is the winner of the last week's, or, you know, this week's FM Talk 106.5 Fish and Photo Contest. There he is at in the Mobile River, it sure looks like. And I see, up the river a little bit by the bridge. And what a beautiful redfish he has in that photo. He got the most number of likes, so he wins the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team Dry Fit shirt. Joel, congratulations. You are the winner. Where's my fanfare? All right, that's more like it. That's more like it. Joel, congratulations. So, Leanna, that means a fresh week to work with, new photos. I mean, you can go back and look at the previous weeks, but this is a new chance for people to put up another photo.
Right. It just posted, so this is another chance to put up your photo. Joel can't win, and Brad's already won.
Right.
So give everybody else a chance to become a part of the fishing team.
Yep. So that's all you got to do. So right now, somebody could go up there, post their picture up, and start campaigning to get likes for their picture.
Exactly. Ask your friends and your family and tell them that you want the bragging rights.
That's right. So it works that easy. So put the picture up and then start campaigning for those likes. And it could be you next week that we're talking about in that. Leanna, thank you very much. And
you're
remind
welcome.
Folks, too, if they're checking in on fireworks displays, we've got that updating list on our Facebook page.
Correct. I updated it. There was a cancellation. OWA was worried about the crowds. So, but there was several other cities that are doing it and having celebration, and all the info is on our Facebook page.
All right, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. Leanna, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, coming right back. More of this thing we call Midday Mobile. George Talbot with the City of Mobile joins us straight ahead right here on this Thursday. And it is law now, a mask ordinance for the City of Mobile. Y'all have been peppering me with questions. Give you a chance to pepper George Talbot with those questions when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. And good to have you here. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. As I mentioned, as we started off the show, we're checking in. And I know you've got a lot of questions, and it's your chance to get questions in on the text line at 343-0106. As we're talking to George Talbot, Executive Director of Communications, External Affairs for the City of Mobile. And it's time to talk about the mask ordinance that passed yesterday after lots of discussion with Mobile City Council. George, thanks for your time.
Good to be with you and coming to you from Dreamland Barbecue in Mobile.
Don't start with me.
Just had a great tour of the new South Alabama football stadium, which is a beautiful thing. Going to be great when they kick off September 12th.
Now, I'm not asking you like a professional construction opinion, but just like you and I, regular dudes, does it look like it's getting ready for people to? I mean, what is it? Does it look like something? Or does it look like it's finished?
Yeah, it's really substantially complete, the construction they've got to do. You know, all the finishing where they put all the logos and, you know, the pretty it up. But it is right on schedule, and it's amazing. And they have done just an amazing job of taking, stealing ideas from other stadiums. And it's going to be an incredible asset for the university and, of course, for the city as well. So really cool.
All right.
Get your tickets if you hadn't already. That's when that first game will be something special.
Well, but okay, let me do this. Let me pivot off that. Let me segue off of that. What's the idea? Full capacity, distance capacity? Will we be wearing masks inside the stadium?
Well, all of that, there's a lot that can and will happen between now and then. The mask order that you referenced that was approved by the city council yesterday is got a sunset on it. It is in place for 30 days. And so whether that gets extended or not really depends on, I don't know that we get to determine that timeline. The virus has a lot to say about that. But as it currently stands, that local mask order would expire 30 days from Friday, tomorrow.
And the arbiter of that, is it Dr. Eichold, or are there benchmarks that are, okay, if it's X number of new cases, how is that determined if it will be continued or let to sunset in 30 days?
Yeah, I think certainly the health department's part of that conversation, the hospitals, the medical community, the business community as well. That's a big consideration in this, and maybe hasn't in all of the commentary about it, maybe it hasn't come out, but I mean, you are seeing lots of businesses, unfortunately, because of they're seeing cases among their employees have to close, and the mask ordinance. We heard from businesses that said, you know, this could actually help us. I mean, the best thing for all of us as a community is to get the cases under control and stop the spread and stop people from getting sick, and I think if we watch over this next couple of weeks, hopefully this has an impact and we can rock and roll and move on without it. But the medical community really said, if you can give us this little window of time, we think that could have a real big impact on the surge in cases that we've really seen over the last 2 weeks.
The surge in cases, we're hearing lots of stories that, you know, there are more young people contracting this now. Is it a worry about passing it on, or is it early on like we were worried about hospital capacity? What's the discussion on that?
Yeah, if you go back, you know, there was that flattening the curve everybody was talking about, which we did. We were able to get through that initial period by flattening the curve, and our hospitals did a great job, and they were never overwhelmed. So then we reopened the city, let's say, and as did the state and other communities around the state. But now we're seeing that resurgence in cases, and you're exactly right. The numbers, the data tells us it's in the younger age category. The good news is, a silver lining of that is that they are not getting they're mostly asymptomatic. They're not getting the severe symptoms, so hospitalizations are staying relatively flat. And we're not seeing the deaths like we saw early on, which is the best thing. I mean, but those things, hospitalizations and deaths, are what they call a lagging indicator. So the hope for is that maybe the virus is weakening and fewer people are having to go to the hospital or get really sick. But you don't know. I mean, maybe in a week, as we see, you know, as people get diagnosed and then the symptoms begin to happen within 5 to 7 days of the initial test, then we'll start getting a clear picture of that, I think, you know, within a week.
All right. I want to talk about, let's go back in time, and I may not have the actual, I think it's a month, maybe more, but I do remember Mayor Stimson saying, and he has said the whole time, he believes that the masks were a good idea, the social distancing, the hand washing, all those things he was saying. Yes. But I remember him being quoted, and I'm just paraphrasing what I thought I heard in the quote, that he was not for an ordinance. He believed that people should, but he was not. So what's changed,
correct,
George? What has changed in time? What changed last week? Why? Why now?
It really was at the urging, and I would say the very strong urging, of the leaders of our hospitals, the healthcare community, when they began to see those cases rising and when they were looking at the census counts of their hospitals, the patient flow projecting forward, they were very concerned. And nobody, the mayor or really anybody at the city, wish that an ordinance like this wasn't necessary. Ideally, you don't have to have it, but it was. You have to listen to your doctors, and they were they felt very strongly about it, and in working with them and really trying to listen to them and find that balance, we thought the 30-day period, if we could just sort of slow this spread for 30 days, that maybe we can find ourselves in a much better place when August gets here.
And that
means we can have football, we can have high school football, we can go to college games, we can see our economy come back, and that the people who are still staying at home because they're afraid they're going to get sick, maybe with more people wearing masks, they'll feel more comfortable going out and participating in the economy.
And this is, I mean, you don't know what's everybody's mind and hearts, but you talk about this and the businesses. I wonder if this makes it easier for a business to require it. Because part of this mass discussion has gotten pretty political, George. And, you know, it's almost like if a store requires mask or doesn't, people will judge that store based on it. So, I mean, there's a bit of cover that's provided by an ordinance.
Yeah, it cuts both ways. I mean, you're seeing some businesses, for example, Costco, but there are lots of others that say we're going to require a mask if you're going to come shop in the store. They can do that as a private, privately owned enterprise. And so some are bothered by that and choose to patronize a different store. Many others, though, it's appealing to them. And so that would apply to anything, a barbershop, a restaurant. There's a kind of a confidence that many people are going to have when they see those kind of policies in place. And I think where we go from here, I mean, ideally the government didn't happen to be involved here, but that you would see private businesses, come up with their own policies and practices to keep their employees and the customers safe. And I think you're already starting to see that, which is really a good thing. And that way the government can get out of the, these kind of rules and mandates. That's not what we just want to keep people safe and healthy. That's the goal. We see the spread in numbers and the cases rising, and that's what kind of compelled the city to take action, because we need people to take it seriously.
Talking to George Talbot with the city of Mobile about the mask ordinance. What about the, I mean, Governor Ivey in her comments earlier this week seemed to say, I could do this for the state, but I'm not doing it. Was she messaging to y'all at a municipal level that it was better for y'all to do it than the state to do it? Or has there been any communications with the governor's office on that?
I will say the governor's office has done a great job of working with the cities. We talk regularly. It's really more from a practical standpoint. They just don't have the enforcement ability. When you think about Alabama and what a large state it is, and so many rural areas, counties, very difficult from a statewide perspective. But cities typically have the ability to. It's a challenge for us. I mean, I'll be honest. That's a big.
That's part where I'm going. Yeah,
we work through it. The enforceability of this is a real challenge. But if anybody can do it, that's kind of the approach they took, that we're going to work with cities, we'll be supportive, but if these things are going to happen, they really need to be led by the local government.
So did that also become part of, I mean, because it wasn't just Mobile this week. I mean, many municipalities were moving forward with mask ordinances. So was it that messaging from the governor's mansion?
Definitely part of it, but we're a little unique in Mobile because of the independent Mobile County Health Department. You know what I mean? The mm-hmm. state health department. There are two counties, Jefferson County and Mobile County, that have independent health departments. And so we're, as we often say, the great state of Mobile. We kind of have to take care of ourselves sometimes. And we really wanted to look within our own communities. We've talked a lot with the other mayors around the state. And in fact, many of them have called today, want to, get a copy of the ordinance, ask questions. Same with mayors around Mobile County. And I think each community has to kind of look at the data and make the best decision for their own community. And that's just the approach we took in Mobile. This was what we felt was best for the city.
George, you just hit on my last two questions there, so let's flesh those out. Number one, the enforcement. You were talking about that from a state level and it being better at a local level. What is the message to MPD? I mean, I know that the mayor, I think, was quote, I'm paraphrasing again, but something to the effect of, we're not trying to write tickets on this.
Yes.
Is that what you're
correct.
Telling the police officers? What are they told to do?
What we'd rather give out masks than give out tickets is what we've said. And ideally, no tickets ever get written, and we give out a lot of masks. We've got 24,000 masks currently that have been distributed to our police precincts. And so it's really kind of educate and encourage where people don't have a mask, where they should be wearing it, that the police have the ability to give them a mask, provide that to them, and hopefully that accomplishes the goal, which is, getting more people using masks and stopping the spread.
So, I mean, I said this yesterday, I think, on the show. It seems like it's a messaging ordinance.
Sends a strong message. Absolutely.
All right. Then the other portion of this, because people are asking here on the text line, so what about the PJ? Is that under this? And then you mentioned other mayors in Mobile County. So, because, hey, man, if you do it here in the city of Mobile, if you think this is the right choice, and then if that's going to be effective, then somebody lives right across the line, they're not doing it. So what about that?
Yes, it does apply to the police jurisdiction. And we're in contact with other cities. You're right. They saw this in, Birmingham passed the mask ordinance early on, but many of the surrounding communities did not. And so yeah, that diminishes the effectiveness of it, because you have lots of people commuting in and out of the city, going to jobs back and forth. And ultimately, you know, they did end up passing a countywide, Jefferson County passed a countywide order. And so that's really a question for the Mobile County Commission. And I know other mayors around Mobile County are calling us and just wanting to, A, get the ordinance, talk to us about how we put ours together. We're sharing all of that information, and that's going to be up to them how they proceed. But we just felt like for the citizens of Mobile, with the number of cases we're seeing, that we needed to take this action.
All right. So, and timeline once again, from right now through the end of July.
Comes effective 5 o'clock tomorrow, Friday, and runs for 30 days.
And you mentioned you'd rather give out masks than tickets. I know I saw some reporting earlier that there are masks available for Mobilians at the police department, or where?
Every police station, the 5 precincts, and police headquarters on Government Street. We've got a map that has those addresses and contact information. We'll get that on the city's website probably as soon as I hang up from this interview. And they'll be available for anybody from 8 to 5 at any of those locations. And then we're trying to work on a way to, you know, for officers as they go about, you know, their patrols, and that they are able to provide them as well.
All right. I'll let you get back to it. Although people are asking, do you have to wear a mask when you're in the restaurant, George?
No, if you're eating or drinking, you do not. The servers and the employees who are in contact with customers would be required. But no, if you're in a restaurant eating or drinking, you do not have to wear a mask.
There we go. George Talbot, thank you for your time.
Yes, sir.
What is all this runner-up stuff? No. Yeah, people say, well, I want to be runner-up in the fish and photo contest. No. You win. Got another week just started, fresh week for the FM Talk 106.5 Fish and Photo Contest. It'll be your week. I feel good about it. It'll be your week. Joel Teufel won this week. I know week sounds strange, but it goes Thursday to Thursday because we first launched this on a Thursday. So it goes, we award the shirt on a Thursday, and then we do it for another week. And next Thursday, we'll award another shirt, one of the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team dry fit shirts with the speckled trout and the snapper on it. Cool stuff. And you can win by posting your picture up, your fishing picture up, over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, and then just campaign like the Dickens to get people to like your picture, and then you win. It's no more nuance than that. All right, it's pretty much straight up. I want to get to some breaking news right now. Just seeing this, Herman Cain, you know, a radio show host, former Republican presidential candidate, Herman Cain has been hospitalized with COVID-19. It says Cain was told Monday. It took that long to get that. Cain was told Monday that he had tested positive for the disease, according to a statement posted to his official Twitter account. By yesterday, he had developed serious conditions or symptoms serious enough that he required hospitalization. A spokeswoman for Cain could not be immediately reached for comment. Cain, 74. Here's the tweet from Herman Cain's Twitter account that somebody else is doing for him. It says, "We're sorry to announce that Herman Cain has tested positive for COVID-19 and is currently receiving treatment in an Atlanta area hospital. Please keep him and all who are battling the virus in your prayers." You know, this is completely anecdotal here, but we just got done talking to George Talbot, talking about the city's mask ordinance. And I want to talk about it with you as well, because I know a lot of people have comments on this. But two days, so yesterday and today, I heard two guys I know that had teenagers of theirs that are positive for COVID-19 with symptoms. So, got two people on the list that have tested. There are two people that I know that have kids that have tested positive for COVID. Now, and they were not up with those knucklehead kids in Tuscaloosa. That story is one, and we talked about it this morning with Robert Kennedy Jr. about these. Have you heard about this? The students in Tuscaloosa. Now, these will be. I think these are high school kids up there. I don't think they were. They just said students and kids. Yeah, I think they might be kids go to, you know, high school in Tuscaloosa, live there full time. They were having these parties. They said the organizing these COVID parties. Okay, so I guess at the COVID party, your guest of honor is somebody who had COVID-19. And then they put the money in like they pull their money up, that your bets, and then whoever at the party is first to get COVID, other than the COVID patient of honor, then they won the money. Now, let's just, away from the shock value of this story, it's got great shock value, right, that these kids are doing it, and I pointed out this morning, kids don't think anything is going to kill them. I mean, how many stupid things did you do when you were a teenager, right? Okay. They have this COVID party, but I got to get into the mechanics of this. And Dalton, maybe you can help me too. So they put the money in the pot. So everybody, I don't know what it is. High school kids got a bunch of money now. It's $20, whatever they put in there. You don't just get COVID. Like, you don't, it's not like they'd be like, oh, look, he's breaking out in the hives. It's that one that's got it now. So you got to go back, right? And then they have to go get tested. So as people say, well, no harm, no foul. They're, good on these kids. I see a lot of those texts come in, which I don't understand, because what if that kid takes it to an elderly relative and kills them? But they say, yeah, good on these kids. Well, they got to go get tested, which takes tests away from people that, somebody else in line with them getting tested. But then they got to get tested, and then they got to prove, back to my pragmatic discussion here, then they got to prove to the other knucklehead kids that their test, do they have a timestamp on their test that they were tested positive before the other person? And how do you use that to come back and claim your money? I know the story, it's easy just to stick with the shock value of the story. The kids are having these COVID parties in Tuscaloosa trying to get COVID-19. But the mechanics of it, that's, anybody else ask that? I have seen that question asked nowhere else. I mean, if you go to the party, and then nobody's going to immediately know if they have COVID, and what kind of closeness, what are they doing exactly to make sure? I mean, they're rubbing all over this person. What kind of, they having them sneeze on them? What kind of transfer of COVID are they attempting here? And then you've got this period of time before you can go and get tested. And then you have to get it, I guess I would require a timestamp or something to come back to the rest of the group and show that you had it first. I mean, how does that work? Nobody's asked that second part of it. I mean, it is shocking. The story's shocking. But the second part of it is, like, how do you prove that? Do you think that would leave it open to some kind of cheating or something like that? I mean, could you go get a test from somebody else and have the name changed or something? Said, oh, yeah, look at there, I got it. Pay up. Pay up, y'all. It's one of those strange stories out there. All right, so, yeah, but let's start off with the fact that Herman Cain is now positive for COVID-19. Fred asking on the text line, which is the greater risk, the health risk involved in wearing masks or not wearing them, which is most likely to make you ill as well as others. I see both sides, but neither seems to make a conclusive evidential argument, or most likely based on what facts we have. Fred, that part of it, that sentence there, that neither side's made a conclusive evidential argument, I want to have that frame. That's the rub, right? The unknown. And what happens is, if you already have I'm guilty of this as much as anybody. I know you say you're above it, but if you already have a preset belief that's come to you for whatever, when a piece of information comes your way that reinforces your view of something, you hang on to that. You hang on to that, right? You add that to the arsenal of why you think. Right, if I've been watching this, I go, man, they don't know where the sun rises, right? I mean, they with no mask and then mask, and then the WHO says this, and they, well, so every piece of information that comes out that is showing a question, or the fact that the numbers of people hospital or people or fatalities are being lumped together when it could be some comorbidity that actually killed them, you're like, see, and I get it, I'm with you, I understand that. On the flip side, if you're somebody that believes that this is the worst thing that's ever happened to planet Earth, and this virus is going to, not by the economy, but by medically, kill this country, then every new piece of information for number of cases or severity, or this case with, oh, there's a young person that died from it, then you're going to hold on to that and add that to your arsenal, right? I mean, that's human nature. And the problem is, what is in between is probably where you should be, right? Trying to figure out what facts are there. And like Fred says in his text, neither side seems to make conclusive evidential arguments. And I think there's a lot of truth in that, Fred. Now, Brian says, and I guess, Brian, are you talking about the COVID party kids? Said they should all be charged with attempted murder. Okay, so. There, you could say in a secondary effect, right, Brian, if they transmit the disease, yes, to themselves, that wouldn't be, it's stupidity, I agree, and knuckleheadness, I agree. Should you be charged with murder there by going to the, for with should you be charged with murder for going to the party? I got to cipher on that one a little bit. But I will say this. I want to play a clip, and I played it at the beginning of the hour. And I think this is one of the arguments that I've heard made now twice. Yesterday, Dr. Eichel made it at the Mobile City Council meeting. And I saw somebody else on social media posting up about this. When people say they cannot force me to wear a mask, right? There's no precedent set to force me to wear a mask. And then remember yesterday, or I played this clip at the beginning of the hour from yesterday's city council meeting where Dr. Eichold said this.
You can't walk down the street without clothes on in the city of Mobile.
Okay. So shortened version of a longer clip there where he's talking about what precedent would be set. So in the state of Alabama, if we're going to try to make the arguments of why this is, because there's a bunch of people saying this is not constitutional, this is a violation of your rights. Like I said, and I hear that part of it. I'm a guy that's been questioning these ordinances and still does. But there is some precedent. Is there a difference here between insisting that you wear clothing or wear a mask? Are they the same thing? Are they different? How much different is it? Now, can you say those clothing items, what they say is, you know, and I'll argue back the other way against this, the clothing items to cover up the naughty bits, right? That's what this is all about. So you can, like if you said I'm wearing clothing and I had all my clothes around my legs or on my head, I'm wearing clothing, but I'm in violation, right? I'm in violation of lewdness standards. And that's what they're saying. There's this lewdness standard. This is already precedent set. But I'll point out that it's not saying you wear, it's wearing clothes that cover up naughty bits. So I don't know if the direct saying that Alabama set precedent by having nudity laws or something like that means they can enforce the mask ban. Because once again, if you wear the mask somewhere else on your body, right, you're wearing a mask, but you're not in, well, you're not complying with the law, are you? So it's just something to bounce around. We'll talk about this more when we come back. I get a update from WKRG, then back to you at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I'd like to point out to Dan, the hour is not over, Dan. Dan said he was promised more fireworks versus adult novelty toy names. We might, in a little bit of time, we'll finish up with that. Just going to hit a couple other stories before we get to that. All right, Jason. Okay, Jason's asking the question. Jason, I've had this question from several people, and I've got answers for you on that. So Jason said, can you address the mask rule as it relates to concealed carry? And, you know, this is actually, we first asked this of Sheriff Cochran back when, I think it was Birmingham passed their mask ordinance, because I was just kind of projecting forward. And then I asked again earlier this week with the sheriff, and it does not affect the concealed carry. And what Jason's talking about, what he and I are talking about here, is when you have a concealed carry permit, you agree to certain things. Certain things invalidate that concealed carry permit, and masking is one of the things there. But that has been overrided. I think, Jason, the actual, number one, you're fine. You're fine to wear a mask and have concealed carry. But I think the law they use is something with the emergency order in the state, and that's why you can do it. So, yes, now I'm speaking specifically for Mobile County and Mobile County Sheriff. That's if I had one, that's where my concealed carry permit would be issued out of Mobile. So Mobile, it is okay. It's also, get this, Jason, So I went on, because I can't leave good enough alone. I said, well, what if I want to go into a bank? They said, that's fine. You have the mask on. I think we talked about this yesterday. Stuff that you would have said in 2019 that you say now, but stuff you just said last year, people said, what are you talking about? Think about this. Like, honey, they wouldn't let me into the bank without a mask. I wanted to go in the bank, but they said unless I had a mask on, they wouldn't let me in the bank. These are the things that have changed here in 2020, one of the long list of things that have changed. All right, and some people saying that, okay, that you agree. I'm just trying to work all sides of this, and one of the things I see people talking about is that when you say the being forced to wear a mask is not constitutional, right? And one of the arguments that's being pushed back is, well, your city, your state has laws about public lewdness. Okay, publicly, in other words, wearing clothes. Like I played that clip from Dr. Eichholt. Yes, but, in that case, it's not just wearing clothes, it's covering certain body parts, right? Like I can't just say, wearing clothes and I wear all those clothes on my head or on my shoulders. No, I'm in violation. So to say that it's a complete analog from public lewdness laws and that gives precedent for the mask, I don't know that that's true, because you'd have to define, right, the nose and mouth as public lewdness that should have to be covered. I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, I've heard that argument made, but I'm just kind of throwing it out there that maybe it's not analogous here. The guy getting hooked story. Yeah, that's wild. Just a side note on that. You heard of the update there from Bill Riles about somebody diving who got hooked by a circle hook, which is what you have to use for snapper fishing, reef fishing. It's a hook. I mean, if you fish, you know what we're talking about. It's a hook. It's a hook that is kind of curled back on itself a little bit, harder to get out too. So this guy's diving and he ends up getting hooked by a fisherman up top. Now there are some laws here, folks. And when you have dive flags up, let's just use this as a learning moment here. When you see the dive flag up, or as a lot of people call it, the Van Halen album cover flag, when you see that diver down flag, don't be fishing on top of those, folks, because this person got fished and he got hooked and got to fight the angler up to the surface. I imagine he's not particularly pleased. But actually, they pulled him up. What'd they say here? It said, Thompson was 100 feet down when he got hooked, and it wasn't only in his neck. There were circle hooks in his hand and in his scuba gear. How many hooks? Is this a multi-hook rig? When he removed one of the hooks, it hooked the hose to his regulator and pulled it from his mouth. Now, that would cause fear. Meanwhile, he was steadily being pulled to the surface. Boats started backing off the wreck. They thought they had a nice fish on. They thought they had an amberjack backing off the wreck. He said he grabbed his primary regulator from his dive buddy, Will Clark, and he used his secondary regulator. Matter of seconds, both were on the surface. Now, that's bad. They have to come up that fast. I just do have a question. It said he only had mild symptoms of decompression sickness and already planned to go diving again on Friday. You're supposed to also have a dive knife. No blame on the guy that got hooked. It's the guy that hooked him, but you're supposed to have a dive knife when you're out there. You're supposed to keep that on your person. All right, so Dan doesn't get mad here. I'll give you one more here. I started this morning. It's something I've done for a couple years, and against my best judgment, I'll do it again. It is a game we've played in the past as we get ready for Independence Day and fireworks and all that. It's firework or adult novelty. So we played this game towards the end of the 8 o'clock hour, and I'll do it once again. One more chance here, and y'all can get your answers in on the text line, and we'll talk over there, because Cam Marston's taking over in just a second with What's Working Special Edition. I'm going to give you two names. One is a firework, one is an adult novelty. The first one is 8-second ride. 8-second ride. And then the next one is golden triangle. So 8-second ride, and Golden Triangle. One is an adult novelty. One is a firework. So you're... Don't look at me like that. Okay. Once again, your choices. 8-second ride. You got to tell me which one is which. 8-second ride is one of the names. Golden Triangle is the other. One of those is a firework. One is a an adult novelty. All right, so there you go. You'd hit us up on that text line at 343-0106, 343-0106, and we'll have a off-air discussion in depth on that. All right, good deal. So Cam Barson's on the way. Also, a reminder tomorrow for this show and Mobile Mornings, doing what we've done in the past and bringing more attention to Fisher House, which Fisher House, I always say, is to get people to understand it. What Ronald McDonald House is, to families that have children, they're getting treatment in children's hospitals to keep them close to their children. Well, Fisher House does that for our men and women in the military that are getting treatment at VA facilities. They build homes nearby these VA facilities where those families can be close to their loved ones, also with other families that understand what they're going through. It's an amazing charity. It's one we believe in a whole bunch here at FM Talk 106.5. And we'll bring you the story of those stories of those families and their loved ones in the military tomorrow. All right. Cam Marston on the way. What's Working Special Edition is next.